Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tasks like just turning up the volume in some vehicles can become more complicated and take longer than just adjusting a knob, which means keeping your eyes off the highway longer.
A 2022 Swedish study found using touchscreens can take twice as long as knobs or buttons, with some tasks requiring up to 20 seconds.
I think it's really necessary to identify whether touchscreens are contributing to distraction.
So my question is, I saw NBC did this report, and I don't think that the audio only tells you enough of the story. What do you think they're talking about here, John?
All the screens that are in the cars.
That's it. This is all about in your car stereo, the knob versus the screen. Could well be a frivolous segment. You never know. But so the basic idea, as you heard them talking about it, is that when you're fiddling with the screen, you're not driving. And at least when you had, you know, in the good old days, if you think they are, I happen to, in the good old days, you had, you know, a couple of buttons whose position you memorized, like the remote control. You know, you don't ever look at, you know, you can operate your TV remote in the dark, right? Because you know where the buttons are.
Of course. Of course I can.
It's one of the reasons why, like, I have Dish, and, you know, every once in a while Dish, you know, tries to get me to switch to the new remote. And
you're like, no.
Why? I don't want that. Well, it's got voice to, I don't need that. I know where all the buttons are. When I want to fast forward a commercial, I'm watching a game, I don't need to think. Beep, beep, done. You know, like, it's so
easy. Yours makes noises like that?
It's in my head.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just trying to share out loud what goes on inside my head, which is scary enough. So when it comes to your car, you know, you got the touchscreen, and God help you if you try to do that automatically, right? Touchscreen, you can't memorize those. And also, that's more what it's in. That's my expression, not the car's expression. So I've witnessed this firsthand, literally. You know, my Civic, I've had a couple of different kinds of Civics, and I said had an 07, and had all those buttons memorized. Had an 05, had those buttons memorized. Had a 92 Accord, had all those buttons memorized. I now have a touchscreen, and I hate it.
Yeah, but you don't have a screen that goes all across your dash.
Right. And, you know, my wife, she has two in her Odyssey. There's like an upper and a lower.
Mm-hmm.
Hate them both. And you know, the older, not that old, but like, you know, 10 years older generation of the Hondas is, they're very slow to respond and very hard to press. And they kind of, I mean, it's annoying. Well, they've improved that. It's a little bit more like your phone now, where it's very easy to touch sensitivity-wise. But they're still annoying, and you don't memorize them the way you memorize the buttons. I just like to know, you know, one of the things, and feel free to join in this, 437-1620. One of the things for me is when I have a button or a knob, I like knobs for stereo up and down and also for volume up and down, because it's just done. It's so easy. Touchscreen's like, plus, hold it. You know, it's not the same. Plus, and this is a unique thing to do at Honda, but you tell me, John, you've owned a lot of cars.
Okay.
Like, when I first turn on the car, it's just figuring my life out right now. Okay, your driver is responsible for all things, and it's got this boot-up time during which you can't do anything. You know, you can't...
Really?
Yeah, and especially if I've had my phone connected to it so that I'm playing audio from my phone... And it's not there. It takes, I mean, some unholy long period of time to figure out that the phone's not there to connect to. It's not a phone. It's an MP3 player, but an old phone. So it's not my phone. I always have my phone. Right? But, you know, it's like 30 seconds or something, or 25 seconds, and you can't adjust the volume. You can't adjust all the stuff. Anyway, my own personal view of the touchscreen is I would just rather have the good old-fashioned knobs that we had for 60 years or whatever. So that's one issue. The other issue is the safety effect.
It's a major concern for the Center for Auto Safety. Brooks recently testifying before Congress about it.
But very little data collection or studies about the safe operation of the touchscreens.
California Congressman Kevin Mullen introduced a bill calling for a federal study on the impact of touchscreens on driver distraction.
Anytime you take your eyes off the road, that raises a safety consideration. So federal regulators need to be taking a closer look at it.
Right. Don't text because it's a distraction for your fingers in your eyes. Don't have to fiddle with the stereo screen because it's a distraction for your fingers in your eyes. Right?
Right.
So that's one issue is safety. Then there's a question of what people do and don't like.
The latest J.D. Power survey shows vehicle touchscreens top the list of complaints for new car owners.
And it was at that moment I'm like, I have to talk about this on the radio. Because I was operating under the premise, kind of a weird premise for me. I tend to think that even though I know I'm weird, a lot of people are weird like me. You know, if I notice something's weird, other people have noticed it too, and I talk about it on the radio, and you're like, yeah, me too. This was one, honestly, I thought, maybe I'm the weirdo. John is nodding his head yes. But then when they said, J.D. Power says that one of the top complaints about new cars is the screens, I thought, hallelujah, here we go. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, yes, I have a 2026 Hyundai, and I hate the touchscreens. They're very distracting to use while driving. I do like the talk-to-text feature, though. That is awesome. John, are you a I know you. You like all the newest technology. Give me the beta version. Let me test it. I'll do it for you. I don't care if it works. I just want to be cool.
Yeah.
But am I wrong in this, or what? I mean, what's your perspective? Do you like the touchscreens on the stereo controls?
Love it.
Okay, because?
Because it's all technology in it. At least mine works. You know, I don't have to go through the whole boot up thing like you do.
Yeah, it's really weird. My Civic is better than my wife's Odyssey, but it's still not. It's not what I would design. I'll just put it that way, politely.
Well, when a lot of the automakers have their own GUI interface, it's like, okay, I got to learn this one. Then I got to learn that one.
Mm-hmm. Each Ford language, is different than Chevy. Interface, and, right.
You know,
it's not standard.
Chevy is different than Dodge. I mean, it is learning all those interfaces.
For me, and again, I know I may be weird on this, but I genuinely love being able to put my hand up to a predetermined place on the stereo controls and just turn up the volume to whatever I want it, just like that. In fact, that was vital in looking for, you know, this. To me, is being able to do that. And I can't do that on my wife's car. It's a touch. It's
you
so
don't have any kind of a steering wheel control.
Now there is steering wheel controls. That's okay. True, and that makes a big difference.
Yes,
yeah, because then it's buttons you can press and it's easy. But same thing for searching and moving up and down the dial manually, which I know you usually use presets. But I don't. It's just I'm not the point and touch system does not please me. Does not make me happy. And again, that's why I wanted to bring this up a little bit, was because I knew it was possibly just me. I'm just old. But then when I heard the report, I'm like, well, okay, so if a lot of other people think this, but also, and it is a safety issue just because of the, you know, a tenth of a second or not even having to take your eyes off the road because you know exactly where the controls are, is different from even a fraction of a second or a second off of the road because you're having to look at exactly where on the screen you press. But again, steering column controls are different.
Right.
And those do, for most of your newer cars, that solves that problem, right?
So you don't have a little button that you can tell the car what to do?
What do you mean?
Like I can
a self-driving feature?
Well, no. Not that. Like, turn the volume up to, or turn the AC down to 65.
I don't know anything about all that. I mean, I may have it. Never learned it.
That way it does it. You don't take your hands off your eyes off the road.
And by the way, I actually think this is probably at best a temporary issue, because we all know what's coming is the self-driving cars. And, you know, solving for the physical dials and knobs on a stereo for cars that are eventually going to drive themselves, where you're not even going to, it's not even going to matter. And like John says, I mean, you'll just get into the car, you'll plug the little a USB H drive into the back of your hand or whatever. It'll know what to do, or it'll just read your thoughts in the ambient because you won't even have to plug in because we're going to be, you know, cordless connected to our Elon Musk Tesla self-driving mind-reading stereo cars, right? I mean, that's coming.
Self-driving is almost coming.
Oh, I know.
That Mustang out there will stay in the lane. It's got adaptive cruise control and stay in the lane, and it'll turn. It'll do everything on the road. I'm horrified
by all of this. On the clicker, Henry says, my granny had a black and white TV in the 1960s with a clicker that had channel and volume only, press one or two buttons up and down to change TV. Sounded like a metal toy clicker. Maybe this is a super dating reference, but there's, the metal clicker from, was it Ants in the Pants? The game you'd play to try to shoot the ants in, or there, cricket. That's what it was. Cricket. It was, oh man, there's a person who knows what I'm talking about in the audience.
I mean, back
that has
in the,
that weird sound. It sounded like a metal toy clicker. No batteries required because it ran off the TV power, right?
Back in the day, I was the parents' clicker.
Yeah, that one, right. That's true.
Yep.
Go turn that station up one, John.
Yep.
All right, stand there and hold that antenna. God, this conversation has completely devolved. 437-1620. First it was I'm too old for my touchscreen. Now it's I'm too old to even relate to anybody. there you go. I cannot believe I forgot this yesterday. You know, I hate forgetting things. Not forget like, oh, I didn't think, but I had it on my list of things to cover yesterday, and then I just completely, I failed you bad. Yesterday was the anniversary of the state of Florida becoming a territory, becoming a state, and I got it. I've gotten myself into this story, and now I don't even have the thing in front of me to tell you the fact of it. It was 1822. Okay, this is killing me. I really had it, and then I had to restart my computer this morning, and so all of the stuff that was normally ready and available and open was not. So sorry about all that. This is just me talking my way through till I get it open. 1822, Florida Territory created the United States. So we have been a named place for 204 years. Or if you prefer the English version, 204 years without the and that everybody uses. Happy birthday to Florida, I guess. So 437-1620, interesting event. We got a note from FHP that they were in partnership with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. They made an arrest as basically what happened here is that a sergeant from ECSO, Escambia Sheriff's, noticed a guy passed out behind the wheel at Delano and Pace. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought, was this the story from like 2 weeks ago where the guy was passed? It was not. It's a totally different story.
Oh.
So he's in his truck, in drive, foot on the brake, asleep. Not a great position to be in as a driver. So he's asleep with his foot on the brake. You know, like you put, but be honest, have you ever pulled up to a traffic light and then just kind of, it was too long and you were too tired and you kind of, oh, I almost nodded off there. Not because you were drinking, but just because. And, you know, did you remember to keep your foot on the brake if you fell asleep? I've never fallen asleep, but I have had scare moments. Anyway, so the sergeant pulled up to this guy in his truck, and he pulled in front of him with the sheriff's vehicle so that if he started moving forward, you know, I don't know how exactly he knew what was going on, but he did. And he gets around in front of him and parks and then gets out, and he tries to, and then FHP arrived. He asked for assistance because it seemed like he had maybe would be drunk. And they came, FHP comes, they wake up the driver, they're able to unlock the pickup truck, they get into the pickup truck and they put the vehicle in park. So now everybody's kind of safe. Driver displayed several indicators of alcohol impairment, then identified as, this is where it starts to get kind of interesting. It's already a little interesting. This is where it gets really interesting. 38-year-old Mr. Fernando Castilla Espinoza from Mexico.
Olé.
That's right. And he did not possess a valid driver's license. Hooray for us. So, due to his level of impairment, EMS was actually called. So, he was really drunk.
Allegedly.
So, EMS arrives to, assist him in case, like, drunk and dangerously drunk, like, gonna die. And after being medical cleared by staff, he was put under arrest, charged with DUI, refusal to submit to a lawfully required breath test. Will you take a breath test? I don't have the actual recording, but I think it went like that.
Oh, I was like... I think it went like that.
No, senor. probably
He's
not.
Senor.
And driving without a valid driver's license. Then we notified ICE.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Good for them. And it was determined that Mr. Castilla Espinoza was not in the United States legally. A detainer placed, and there you go. So, I guess if you're in the country illegally and you don't have a driver's license, but you are driving, which does not happen just once a lot. I mean, it's all the time, unfortunately. You know, you're going to get arrested and you're going to get detained and then you're going to get deported, one would assume. So, interesting story. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-345-2789. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-345-2789. That's 800-345-2789. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-345-2789.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Tomorrow, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Pensacola Habitat for Humanity at 10:30 a.m. as President and CEO Sam Young and Vice President of Programs Ruthie Noel will be in studio to talk about some of the amazing things they have going on with their homeownership programs. Learn about their new neighborhoods and discover ways to volunteer and donate to enhance lives through homeownership. That's all tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Habitat for Humanity, transforming communities one homeowner at a time.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
You know how YouTube is always offering you the next thing to watch?
Well, of course.
I mean, they always
suggestions. Yeah.
By the way, are you a you leave autoplay on or off?
Oh, I have it off.
I have it off too. I don't want, you know, I want to watch what I want to watch. And a lot of times what happens, it'll go to the next video and then, well, I want to go back without, or I want to replay or something. Anyway, I don't remember what I was recording or watching or something anyway. And the next thing that it wanted to play for me was the best punk songs of 1979. I'm like, I'm in. You know, and you know,
so the algorithm knew you.
Well, sort of. And you know, 1979 is a bit of a reach, but okay. So I was listening to it, and you know how punk songs are typically, a normal song is like 3 to 4 minute long,
right?
And punk songs are like 14 seconds long, and so, it's, I mean, they're, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something like that. Typically, it's very common. So there was like 50 of them on this, I don't know, an hour and a half, whatever it was. So I listened to it, as you know, and a lot of it. Very not great, you know. I mean, it was good for 1979, but some of them, like, oh, that's really good. So that Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative Ulster. I don't know. I thought it was
stiff.
It was good enough to make the bumper rotation on my computer.
Stiff Little Fingers.
528 on News Radio 92.3. We've now come to a lot of local news is reporting this like it's news. I don't think it's really news because it's more like the logical consequence of all the other things we've already reported, but still here it is. Blue Angels viewing, not anymore on the base, for now. Because the base is not open to civilians Monday through Friday, which is when they practice, right? And I actually have a relative who came to town and was staying with us, and she's like, I want to go see the Blue Angels. I'm like, you can't do it during the week, and then therefore you cannot do it. So, you know, they're actually going to go watch sometime this week, and they're just going to go watch, you know, I think it might even be going today. And I'm like, well, you can go to Fort Pickens. That's an hour drive, or you can go to watch at Navy Point, or, the, you know, tell them kind of locations off base. Because the base went to this extra security posture of you have to go, first of all, to the visitor control center if you're a civilian, and then now you cannot even go Monday through Friday because of the traffic problems that that was creating. So the byproduct of that is you can't go to the museum, and if you can't go to the museum, you can't watch the Blue Angels, so they're just not having, you know, that happen right now. Until this changes, which, of course, that's a major loss to revenue for the museum, for the lighthouse. It's a loss of access to our visitors. It's a, you know, it's a travel problem. It's a vacation revenue problem. And it's obviously inconvenient for any of you who might want to go. But as Mama-san, commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, would remind you, and I would too, the base is not primarily there for you or even our visitors. It is primarily there for the military mission. And, you know, they believe that at this moment in time, that's the best they can do. There's no other alternative that really works to make sure that we have security during wartime. So here we are, not being able to go watch the Blue Angels during the week, except from afar.
News. I'm CJ Pop of the Paint of the Pump. It's a milestone. The average price for a gallon of gas tops $4. That from AAA. First time since 2022. Gas is now up more than 30% since the start of the conflict in the Middle East. This driver in California.
I've got places to go, weddings to attend, and family to see. And it's making the choice a lot harder on when to choose and who to see because it's just not affordable to get there.
Fox 10 Phoenix's Ashley Rodriguez.
Senator Mark Kelly is co-sponsoring a bill, Gas Prices Relief Act of 2026. It would suspend the federal gas tax, saving drivers about 18 cents per gallon through October 1st.
But that measure would have to pass the Republican-controlled House and Senate. The Department of War delivers an update this morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. While Iran launches fresh attacks on his Gulf neighbors following another threat from President Trump. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, 62 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies. We'll get to our full forecast. Marion Caldwell has that for us from Channel 3 here in just a few minutes. Two Pensacola men have been sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for attempting to murder law enforcement officers. U.S. Attorney John Heakin announced the sentences of 36-year-old Austin McCassler and Darian Finley at a press conference on Monday. McCassler fired at a DEA agent during a search warrant at his home. Authorities say he was a known drug dealer who had previously sold meth to undercover officers. Finley fired a 9mm round into a deputy's vehicle after fleeing in a stolen cop car. Sheriff Chip Simmons said he takes pride in that neither attempt was successful. Both were indicted back in 2025. 10 CEFCO convenience stores across the area are being converted to Casey's General Stores. Casey's is the third largest convenience retailer in the U.S. Locations in Pensacola and Pace are scheduled to convert within the next 2 weeks, with others to follow. Several of those stations have actually already been converted as well. The 10 locations include stores in Pensacola, Pace, Navarre, and Gulf Breeze. Casey's also got approval last year for a new location at Highway 29 and 97 in Molino, but so far there's no update on that project. Santa Rosa County District Schools are cutting the ribbon today on their new Center for Innovation in Milton, the state-of-the-art career and technical education facility at 6447 Highway 90 opens with a ribbon cutting at 4 p.m. today. That'll be followed by an open house until 5:30 p.m. The $9 million facility was funded with a Triumph board grant, and it'll offer students hands-on training aligned with high-demand careers here across the area. A body was discovered Monday evening beneath the Garcon Point Bridge north of 98 in Santa Rosa County. A fisherman found the body and contacted authorities. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit and Medical Examiner's Office are currently working to identify that individual. If you have any information, you're asked to contact the sheriff's office at 850-983-1190. Well, there could be a bogus letter headed to your home. Chris Bryan says it's being distributed statewide.
Escambia County Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender is warning residents about unofficial voter registration mailings. The letters come from a private group, the Voter Participation Center. Bender says the organization has no connection to his office. Other counties have reported errors, including forms sent to deceased people, minors, and even pets. Bender urges anyone who receives the mailing to call the elections office or check their registration at escambiavotes.gov. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our forecast with Marion Caldwell from Channel 3.
Your Tuesday morning starts out with temperatures in the 60s with mostly cloudy skies. Going into the afternoon, we will start to see some peaks of sun with temperatures climbing into the 70s. We also have the chance for a hit or miss shower. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell. We are WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
Thank you very much, Marion. 65 degrees right now in Pensacola. And Gulf Breeze, 62 reported in Milton. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. No relief in sight at the pump. Oil prices are slightly higher this morning. Brent is up by nearly 1.8% as traders analyze President Trump's comments on the war with Iran. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $103.09 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $114.59 per barrel. Micron shares fell 10% yesterday, continuing a slide that began after the company reported earnings earlier this month. The memory company stock has cratered 30% since that blowout report. Micron's CEO said on the earnings call that the company has been unable to meet the soaring demand for its chips. Delaware Judge Kathleen McCormick is reassigning cases involving Elon Musk to other judges in the state's business court. Last week, Musk's attorneys demanded that McCormick recuse herself from two Tesla lawsuits, alleging she was biased against the world's richest person. Futures have risen this morning after President Trump says he is looking to end the war in Iran. That's Your Money Now.
Tune in Thursday at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Angela Sherrill and Will Maben, realtors with Cannell & Company Realty, will be sharing insights on today's market and what buyers and sellers need to know right now. They'll be joined by special guest Tony Peloso from Skyline Lending Group, bringing expert advice on lending, rates, and how to navigate financing with confidence. That's Thursday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Don't miss it.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone every Monday, we have Jimmy Petronas. He is our congressman from District 1, Northwest Florida. Hey, Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning. If I was, if I got up a little bit earlier, I'd be there in studio with you. I'll be in Pensacola in about an hour.
Oh, nice. What are you doing over here?
Oh, just got some meetings. A good friend of mine who's chair of small business, congressman out of Texas, Roger Williams, is bounced around town with some meetings, and anyway, he tries to make the rounds when he can to visit the different members, and I invited to Pensacola.
Well, very cool. All right. Well, I'm sorry I'll miss you, but, you know, welcome to town again. You've been almost a year, right? You've been our congressman for just about a year. Within the next week, you'll have been a year, right?
That's right. That's right. Took office April 1, no joke. And here we go. It's been a heck of a ride, and really it's been an honor this first year to be able to work with the folks, try to break things loose when they get frustrations, help me with my learning curve, help them with their learning curve as we continue to serve our incredible constituents.
Anything particularly over the last year that surprised you? Anything that stood out as the thing you were not expecting that to be that way?
I think the one thing that when people ask me that question, and I think I surprise them with the answer, is just how nice the members of Congress are. There's a lot of really good members up there. And it's so crazy. If you're a member of Congress from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, or Indiana, you love Northwest Florida for generations. You and your families have been vacationing down here to where the closest beaches. So we've got this relationship with a lot of members of Congress that have a connection with Northwest Florida, especially all those that serve in the military through all the installations. They all have a chapter of their life. It's crazy how familiar our part of the world is with so many folks that serve in Washington, D.C.
That's cool. I love that. Working on it. There's a lot of things we have to talk about today. One of them is you've now sent a letter to Doug Collins, the Secretary of the Veterans Administration, requesting a relook at putting a full-service VA hospital here.
Correct. So evidently in 2022, prior to me being in office, there was a study being done by the previous administration. So I want to get an update status on that study. Kind of weigh things out. I mean, I think we can see the encounter data enough. And now I'm not a hospital administrator, but you know, if your data is there showing it, then let's go ahead and start looking at what our options are. At the same time, we're in this kind of a predicament because we do get community care dollars because we are outside a service area of a hospital that's like in our neighborhood. So, you know, our folks, when they want to go and get their VA service over in Biloxi, they get actually reimbursed for their travel expenses. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those slippery slopes. We should get a disproportionate higher amount of dollars for community care because of where the closest hospital is. So, all right, well, if we're there, are we paying the providers enough in order to get enough robust engagement of doctors who want to be interested and taking on the community care service model? So, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a squeaky wheel. We will continue to ping the secretary. And so you start usually with a dialogue, with a letter, and we'll get some findings here in short order. But, they're trying. They inherited a lot of policies on behalf of the Biden administration that are really contrary to what President Trump's vision is. So it's kind of, you know, reengineering and retooling the motor to get it, you know, running in the way a President Trump administration wants to.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to think about this being a place where you wouldn't have, you know, because it just seems like there's so many active duty, so many, you know, veterans, so many retirees, that it's kind of hard to imagine we don't have one here, you know. So interesting to keep looking at that. And plus long-term, that sells the community, right? That helps bolster our military mission if we've got that as an amenity here, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, but here's the part of it also, you know, that VA hospital was established over Mississippi, at least based the way it was explained to me. I haven't looked at the timeline, but when Trent Lott was majority leader, well, you're majority leader, you have a tremendous amount of discretion over the federal budget. And sometimes you might be able to encourage, you know, that administration in order to say, this is a priority that we need to fit. And sometimes deals are cut. So this is why it ends up in Mississippi as opposed to Northwest Florida. The politics were different at that time.
You sit on the Infrastructure and Transportation Committee, and I read a very interesting article that kind of put a couple of pieces together for something that I hadn't really thought of altogether at the same time. And, you know, we are seeing crashes or near crashes at airports. We are seeing infrastructure problems at airports with lack of maintenance over the years. And we're seeing right now the crisis with the TSA funding and all of this together does not really add up to the golden age of air travel. And what they were basically saying is, it's kind of surprising that nobody, you know, people are seeing the horrible things, but then they're not acting differently. But the question is, what are you guys doing? And I think the answer is you've actually done quite a bit. It just doesn't take place immediately. Is that right?
Correct, correct. So, you know, we in the One Big Beautiful Bill, this is a big deal to the president. And you think about, when you think about air travel, you know, people think about planes, they think about the airports, but sometimes they don't think about the technology that goes behind the scenes. And trying to change that, it's not sexy wanting to send them, you know, billions of dollars into air traffic control when you got to think about so many other things that people would like to see. I want new roads, or I want, you know, better access, you know, for my day-to-day. So we put $15 billion in One Big Beautiful Bill to update air traffic control. And again, to bring more technology to bear in order to make our skies even safer than they currently are. But those type of investments do not happen overnight. You know, and you think about, I'm going to get a little nerdy with you, but there's a culture right now at air traffic control, and these guys are used to working, just call it for what it is. They're working with Windows 95, and now, you know what? We want to make you, you know, go right into the latest version of Windows. Well, some of these guys don't want to do the learning curve. So now then what happens is you're losing a generation or a large mass of your workforce because, you know, I'm going to go ahead and retire as opposed to transition to the new operating system. Well, we've got a shortage of air traffic controllers in the first place. So it makes it for a real dilemma because now you got to ramp up, try to introduce new technology, retain what you've got as a workforce, and then recruit the best and brightest that want to be part of this new next generation of air traffic control. So it sounds great in a soundbite. There's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes in order to continue moving this investment into the latest, greatest technology for safety and efficiency and, you know, wait times.
You have been trying to work on the social media problem, and you've actually put up a bill that would eliminate the Section 230 protection so that they would basically become publishers instead of being, you know, immunized bulletin boards who are not responsible for the content of their platforms anymore. Last week, two huge rulings against Meta and YouTube, and one against just Meta. And essentially, between the two of them, they said addictive design, not protecting children, predation is taking place, safety. You all are liable for all the things that you're doing badly, including the way you design these platforms. None of it particularly had to do with content, because that would have been Section 230 stuff, but it was all of the non-content ways you might attack them, and it's worked. What does that tell you as far as legal strategy for reining in social media?
Well, I mean, again, Section 230 allows blanket immunity to these guys. And look, I'm not a litigation person. You know, I'm like, you know what, guys, play in your lane. You know, quit using our children as a commodity.
Yeah.
You know, cut it off with the push alerts at 2 o'clock in the morning that get their attention. You know, moms and dads, you know, and I'm talking to the mom and dads right now. You're ripping your phone out of your kid's hand, and it becomes a combative issue. And, you know, with my son last night, I was trying to get him ready, go take your shower, get ready for bed, all this stuff. And you got to literally physically take the phone from him. And then it becomes an addiction. They go through a withdrawal as you take it from them. But guys, you've got to get ready. And unfortunately, they become so addicted to these algorithms. And, you know, even if I see his content's innocent, but the content is just keeping him glued to the device.
Yeah.
Not healthy, you know, and he made a comment about having homework to do and all. And so, well, why in the heck aren't you doing your homework? Well, I'm just doing some relaxing right now. You know, so, I mean, these guys have created something that generates eyeballs, that ends up generating revenue for their platforms because the ad sales reflect, you know, user engagement. And, you know, I'm just like, guys, under 18, that's hands off, okay? And so if I need to get rid of Section 230 in order for you to participate with me, then let's do it. But they also, the self-harm, the dangerous stunts, the dares that take place on social media are what get me concerned as these kids are engaging things that are not helpful to young development minds.
Yeah, if I went on the air celebrating some of the things that are promoted on TikTok, I'd get sued right away. I might wind up in jail.
Oh.
And that's
1,000%.
Yeah, and that's the point, is there's accountability for traditional media as publishers. There's no accountability for social media because of Section 230. And as you said, it's not just the content, it's the thing itself. It's the, you know, it's not just what they're watching as far as, you know, the videos, what's in the video. It's the way the platform is designed to make you want to keep watching it, to watch it more, to feel like you're missing something if you're not watching it, to crave it. Like a drug, or like, you know, cheap, crappy cereal that they make you want to love, all of that stuff. You're working, you proposed a Warrior Road Act, which I think is very interesting. The folks who live in Navarre or travel Highway 98 want to hear about this. What's the plan?
Yeah, so, I mean, we work on getting dollars deployed out for infrastructure that are eligible for federal dollars. Well, what happens, it'll go to the states, and the states are the ones that are actually, you know, the federal government doesn't build roads, the state builds the roads. So, you know, now we've basically put more strings attached where if these dollars are being deployed out, now it puts even a higher priority when the federal government sends money out that it must be used on those roads that are critically important to egress in and out of our military installations. So, again, this is just, we're putting an extra priority on, all right, guys, we're seeing this money. This is where it's got to be used. And so we're just trying to force the hands of our states when it comes to getting those dollars. And the great thing about it is Jared Perdue, the Secretary of DOT for Florida, great guy. He loves our installations. He's a panhandle boy. He grew up in Northwest Florida, so he gets it. But again, we're just continuing to try to ensure that those dollars can go to 98 and 85 and those roadways that are so critical to get thousands of people to and from work every single day safely.
Yeah, and especially 98 with its proximity to Hurlburt that gets deployed at any time, all the time, to go do the most important tip of the spear missions.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's no joke. Get that done. I'm glad you're working on it. Last thing I was going to ask you is, in case you hadn't seen any of the news over the weekend, we had several million people get together and do these No Kings protests against President Trump. And I was just wondering, I mean, have you been persuaded that you should stop supporting President Trump because of these highly persuasive protests that you've seen?
Yeah, so I like reading my comments on social media, and there's some real, real nasty folks out there, but that's okay. You know, I try not to feed the trolls. but it was interesting. I mean, they were in every market in the United States, and, you know, kind of scratch my head, you know, how all this stuff gets paid for, whatnot. But, you know, this is a different way to keep a political fury amongst the left base. And, you know, it's, you know, Trump derangement syndrome is real. You know, I think the president is doing a lot of right things, and the left has to find ways to raise their base. But the one thing that the left does not have, they can spew all their hate for President Trump, but they're not pushing out a single policy that is making a difference in the lives, like no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. You're going to see after this particular tax cycle with tax day coming up, the refunds are going to be pretty aggressive.
You know, I will say this, people don't ever think much about it, but poster board and glitter pens are expensive, man. I don't know where the funding comes from for all of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but again, there's not a policy that the Democrats push. I see it every single day when I'm in D.C. The Democrats are offering nothing in order to save this country. Not a single thing. And I'm sorry, I'm going to offend some people with that, but it's just the truth.
Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. As always, Jimmy, thanks so much for the time. And I know you want to say go Illini now that Duke is out, right?
Yeah, my bracket's totally busted. that three-pointer that UConn shot,
God.
You know, with 0.3 seconds left, unbelievable.
Fantastic.
But I tell you, that's what's so – you're going to get me on a whole other system.
Oh, I know,
NIL,
I know.
Yeah. And stuff. I mean – I just want the kids to be kids.
Yeah, you know? Let them have some fun, man. It's a thriller and a little bit of Christian Leitner payback, although a couple decades late. Jimmy Patronis, as always, thank you for the time, sir. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
See you, buddy. Thanks.
You know what was funny is right at the end of that interview, somebody had said, did he just drop an F-bomb? His bracket is, you know, and I was kind of talking over him. He was talking over me, whatever, and we're like, I don't think so. He wouldn't do that. And we're like, but like, my bracket is busted. But we had to listen real close. Like,
real close.
You know, the FCC makes allowances for fleeting profanities, and I wouldn't think Jimmy would do that. You know, he's a radio guy. He knows better. But still, we had to double check, and sure enough, you know. 437-1620. That's my phone number if you want to weigh in on any of this stuff. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection, good quality used cars. And here's how you know that it's actually time and you just haven't admitted it yet. Do you love your car? Because you know you should. Like, you deserve to love your car. I have driven cars that I loved, and I have driven cars that I did not love anymore. And you know what? That's a normal relationship with a car. The good news is you don't have to stay with it for a lifetime. It's not marriage, okay? You can trade up. In fact, it's encouraged, you know, with a car to trade up. And that's the point. Go look. Go find out. Because if you get in your car every day, like, I hope it works. I hope it's going to hold up. I hope I don't have to pay for an extra repair. I don't really like any. Well, you deserve better. You spend a lot of time in your car. You do. You spend a lot of time in your car. Now, as Dave Ramsey would say, you only deserve what you can actually afford to buy. But that's the point of Frontier Motors, is you can go get the car you deserve and you'll be able to afford it. Because they have a great selection of good quality used cars at very reasonable prices that you can then hang on to for a long time. Because every car they sell you, no extra charge, is warranted to 100,000 miles or 10 years, or whichever comes first. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This spring, you can share more than a meal. You can share hope. For as little as $2.75, you can provide a nourishing meal to a hungry neighbor, served with love and compassion, reflecting the love of Christ. A single meal opens the door to healing, recovery, employment, and housing, helping restore lives and renew hope throughout the year. Answer the call this season. Give hope today at waterfrontmission.org.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Ow! Knights of Columbus, that hurts!
I used to sing songs at the break of the day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Working myself into a frenzy, but I don't do that no more, no way. I feel like I've been run over by a truck.
You've probably never heard this song, right, John?
Never.
Weezer, man. I'm telling you, I've been listening to a lot of Weezer lately. This band has grown on me. I always thought Weezer was basically the sweater song in Island in the Sun, you know, and
right.
That was about it. That's what people knew, and maybe a couple of other songs here and there. But, man, it's a much better band than I ever knew. And
were you asleep in the late 90s, 97?
I was listening to a lot of Christian alternative. To a lot of Christian. I became a Christian, and, you know, my wife and I were into, like, Jars of Clay and DC Talk and Audio Adrenaline and Newsboys and all of that. And, yeah, so that's actually why remember the big Super Bowl halftime show that had all of the 90s stars in it a couple years ago? And I'm like, I don't know any of these songs. And all of my...
I was, like, dancing around
and
everything.
And I feel like I missed late 90s secular pop culture a lot, on music especially. It's, like, the one... Probably the biggest gap in my knowledge of music is that one. Oh, a real good safety tip was put out by the Pensacola Beach Facebook page. It's a nice visual. It's kind of a map if you want to know about, like, water safety. And basically it says that it's got a picture of the beach, and it shows you that this is everywhere that the sharks are is the area that's highlighted in red. And of course the whole water is red. It's a good reminder. You know, as I commented, it's an important safety tip, Egon. Thank you. 558 on News Radio 92.3. This is kind of a... I don't really know what to make of this, but I thought it was a fascinating story. Apparently, in the state of Florida, we are now relaxing the rules on inmates getting married.
Huh? What?
Hey, you can't control where you find love.
Oh, my goodness. Andrew.
Department of Corrections. So here's the thing. There had been a rule in place that if you're going to get married while you are incarcerated under the Department of Corrections, you had to have a health services administrator or a staff psychologist basically review all the requests to get married, and then they would have to sign off on it. The rule change now is that you are only required to get a state psychologist or a correctional officer at the inmate prison if you are incarcerated for something related to mental health or ability to make judgments, you know, if it'll pose a threat to any of the life, any of the inmate security and order, the institution or the public safety. So to me, the fact that there's a rule about the process you have to go through in order to get married in jail means that there are enough instances of people in jail getting married that they had to not only form a rule, but they realized that it was unjustly impeding so many marriages that they now had to change the rule to be a more permissive version of it. And if you'd have asked me yesterday before I read this story, how many people get married in Florida prisons every year? And I've been like, one? Zero to one? I mean, I don't know, but apparently the number is much larger than that.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.